Do I believe in the doctrine of once saved, always saved? Well, I think that's kind of a poor way to put it myself, because sometimes when we talk about this proposition of once saved, always saved, people get the idea that they can live any way they choose and still have a place in heaven with God. And that's not true. And that's not the doctrine that we want to talk about. Do I believe in the perseverance of the saints? Well, that's a little bit better way to put the truth of Scripture. But even when we put it that way, I think the emphasis is too much upon men and women and what they do. Actually, what I believe in is the perseverance or the faithfulness of God. And that's what our text talks about this morning, the faithfulness of God. You see, our emphasis really in the past lessons that we've looked at in this particular series has been upon God's work. We started out looking at mankind, human beings like you and me, and we had to acknowledge that we are all sinners. We looked at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, which tells us that every intent of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And that's a mouthful. It says a great deal about where human beings actually are in this world. Then we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we saw that God takes people out of the mass of fallen humanity. Verse 6 in chapter 7 of Deuteronomy says, "The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession." And we found that that truth has to do with Christians, people like you and me. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession. Then we saw that Christ gives his life as a ransom for many, for people whom he calls out of the mass of fallen humanity, that he dies on Calvary's cross to save sinners like you and me. We saw that that was the work on behalf of people. Then we looked at another aspect of God's work in people, that he gives people like you and me a new heart and a new spirit. And he actually puts his own spirit within us. Finally, we look at the completion of that work, that God is faithful. And that's what Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6 gives us, or verse 9, I should say. Look at that again. "Now, therefore, know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments." Well, when you look at that particular text, you might get the idea that we're talking about salvation by works here. You really might get that idea. You might get the idea that we can actually, by loving God and keeping his commandments, work our way to heaven. Because you might ask the question, to whom is God faithful? And when we look at the text says, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. That's what the Bible says. To whom is God faithful? Well, God is faithful to those who love him. Isn't that what the Bible says here? God is faithful to those who keep his commandments. And so it seems that God's faithfulness is dependent upon what we do what you do and what I do. It seems that God's faithfulness is dependent upon our actions. That's what this text seems to tell us. And when you look at verse 10, it seems that the opposite is true. But God repays those who hate Him to their faces. To destroy them, He will not delay with him who hates Him. He will repay him to his face. But I respond by asking the question, who is it that really loves God and keeps His commandments? Well, I want you to turn back in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 36. We looked at this text last week. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. And I want you to see how this ties into what we're talking about this morning. Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You remember we talked about the profound work of God. How that God takes people like you and me and He puts in people like you and me a new heart. He puts into people like you and me a new spirit. And He puts in people like you and me His own Holy Spirit. What a tremendous work of God this is. And in this way, God causes people like you and me to follow Him. Look at what He says again in Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. I'll cause you, God says, by working inside of you, I will cause you to keep my commandments. This is a phenomenal thing. And so when we ask the question, then, who is it that loves God and keeps His commandment? Who is it? It's the individual to whom God has given a new heart. It is the individual to whom God has given His Holy Spirit. That's who keeps God's commandments. That's the person who really loves the living God. It's the person who is born again, in other words, whom God causes to be born again. I want you to look at another text now. Keep your finger there in Ezekiel 36. And go, if you would, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. In the New American Standard Version, which I'm reading, I really like the way it reads. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God comes to people like you and me, and He causes us to be born again, to be begotten to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the work of Almighty God. And when He causes us to be born again, that work which He takes in us in turn causes us to love God and keep His commandments. Did you keep your finger in Ezekiel 36? Go back there again now and look at verse 27. And I will put My Spirit within you and cause you to walk in My statutes, and you will be careful to observe My ordinances. There's a first cause and there's a second cause, if you want to put it that way. God's working. God's causing a new birth. And as a result of that new birth, God's causing people like you and me to love His commandments and to keep those commandments. Now go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. You look at this text. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments. There's no salvation by works here. God causes people like you and me to love Him and keep His commandments by a deep work within our hearts. And God is faithful to His own work within people like you and me. That's what Deuteronomy chapter 7 is telling us. God can't deny Himself. Once He begins a work in you, He will bring it to completion. What a wonder that is. He is the faithful God. Do you love God? Has He begun a good work in you? He's faithful. That's what the Scriptures tell us. He is the faithful God. By contrast, again, we can say the same thing about verse 10 in Deuteronomy 7. But He repays those who hate Him to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates Him. He will repay him to His face. Oh yes, my friends. The wages of sin is death. And God will repay. God's justice demands this payment. And this can mean eternal death and torment in hell. That's what it can mean. And we can, in turn, ask the question, who is it? Who is it that hates God? Is that a legitimate question? I really think it is. I think it's a very legitimate question. I want you to turn to the New Testament again to Romans this time to Romans chapter 8. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy. Romans chapter 8 and verses 6 through 9. And I want you to see what the Apostle Paul tells us here. Romans chapter 8 and verses 6 through 9. For the mind set on the flesh is death. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. In other words, the Apostle Paul is telling us forthrightly that there are two kinds of people in the world. There are people who have the Spirit of God, and there are people who do not have the Spirit of God. The people who have the Spirit of God belong to Jesus Christ. The people who do not have the Spirit of God are at odds with God. For the mind of the flesh is hostile towards God. It does not subject itself to the law of God. It will not do the commandments of God. You see the distinction, don't you? Two different kinds of people. And this is exactly the contrast that we have in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Look back there now, verses 9 and 10. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Who is it that loves God and keeps His commandments? Those, my friends, who have been given the Spirit of God by Him. Just the opposite is true in verse 10. But He repays those who hate Him to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates Him. He will repay him to his face. Who is it that hates God? The one who is without the Spirit of God and has no desire to keep the commandments of God. Two different kinds of people given to us here. And that's the real contrast that we should see. But now I want to zero in on the faithfulness of God here. Again in verse 9. Because I think this is tremendous. Know therefore, dear friends, know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation. Listen to those words. To a thousandth generation. In the second commandment, which has to do with God forbidding idolatry, God speaks about the third and fourth generation. It goes something like this. You shall not make for yourself any image of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands who love me and keep my commandment. And the distinction which is made there is simply this. That God says on one hand, I am going to relate my iniquity or your iniquity to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me, but to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments, I'm going to show mercy. And what God is saying here is simply this, that my mercy and my loving kindness is so great as to absolutely overwhelm any wrath that I have. And God's wrath is great. But when you think about the difference between thousands of generations and 3 or 4, the difference is astronomical. And God is saying here that into the future, to the 1,000th generation, I am showing my mercy. You know that there's no salvation by works there. Because God is saying to 1,000 generations out there in the future, my mercy and my love is upon you. And that, my friends, is a tremendous thing. That's not salvation by works. That, my friends, is salvation by grace, by pure, unadulterated grace. But if that salvation reaches out to 1,000th generation, where does it start? I'll tell you where it starts. It starts with people like you and me. That's where it starts. God takes people like you and me out of a mass of fallen humanity. God does that. And Christ Jesus on the cross pays the penalty for the sins of people like you and me. And God, in His mercy, gives to people like you and me new hearts and the Holy Spirit so that we'll love Him and keep His commandments. And my friends, God, when He starts a work like that, in people like you and me, God is faithful to His work. One more text. Philippians. Turn with me if you would, please. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. God's faithfulness, friends, is sure. And if He started a good work in you, if He has started a good work in you, He is going to bring it to completion. And when is He going to bring it to completion? At the day of Jesus Christ. When Christ comes a second time in glory to judge the earth, that work which He has begun in you by giving you a new heart and by causing you to love Him, He's going to bring that to completion. And bring people like you and me to glory. I wonder this morning, Has God begun a good work in you? Has He? Has He taken you out of the mess of fallen humanity? Has He indeed given you a new heart? And do you see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the one who shed His blood on Calvary's cross for you? Has He begun a good work in you? My friends, God's going to complete that work. Because the work He has begun in you, He promises to bring to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God is the faithful God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank You that You are indeed the Lord who is faithful. And I confess before You now, Father, that if there is any love in my heart and any desire in my heart to follow Your commandments, it's because of what You have done in me, not because of anything I've done. And I pray, Father, that there will be that recognition within each one of us, so that we will in turn have the confidence that the good work You have begun will be completed by You in the great day of Christ's coming. And where, Father, You have not begun a work in any one of us, I pray now that You would be pleased to pour out Your Holy Spirit and to make Yourself known. Do it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.